Got up this morning, and immediately one verse came into my mind that I felt like I needed to really zero in on some tonight, and it was the word imputation. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 4 here in just a moment, but the theme of the whole thing is, and this is a very important doctrine in the Bible, the theme is, what's the balance in your faith account? What is the balance in your faith account? Amen. All of us are continuously under audit. I looked up the word audit before I came to the service tonight. You all know what it means, but we want to define it and put it in words. The word to audit, for an auditor, means to examine, to adjust, and to certify as to accounts. In the bookkeeping world, we know, and monetary world, it means an examination or an accounting document and of the evidence in support of its correctness. Let me say that again. An examination of an accounting document and of the evidence in support of its correctness. A settling of accounts. And then, of course, an auditor is one who audits accounts. We all know that. But we're all being audited every day. If you have a bank account, actually you're being audited throughout the day. How many of you can remember when you were young? When we were young, we finally learned our lesson. You know, you try to manipulate your checkbook and you thought, well, if I write this check today, maybe it'll be 2 or 3 days before this check gets through. And I can go ahead and pay this bill because I hadn't got any cash money to pay it. So, and hopefully it'll be okay. And then you get your check statement and it says $30 charge for an overdraft check. And you say, oh no, that was just like burning that $30 up that you didn't have. And you didn't know now how you was going to get the $30 that you had overdrafted because they were auditing your account. And the time that that took place and they charged you, they didn't wait, see, till the end of the month. I mean, it was on your account when you got your statement, but they charged you right when that check was overdrafted. And we finally learned through years to find a way to make sure we kept enough in the bank ahead of time that never happened to us anymore. So if you're hearing young, it just doesn't work. I can pass that along to you tonight. So anyway, we're talking about being audited. You're audited in many ways, really, more than in the monetary realm. Every time you get in your car and get out on the highway, you better be careful because there's somebody that's auditing your speed. There's someone that's examining whether you're crossing the line or not. And so, anyway, I want to talk about how is your faith account? What's the balance in your faith account? Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. I try not to make it too hard upon those who work in the sound room. I gave Brother Lee some of my scriptures earlier, and last time I gave him a list, and I never got to any of them. So maybe I won't make it too hard on anybody. The Romans chapter 4 says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So in other words, what that verse is saying is that there's a lot of people that are religious. There's a lot of people that are moral. There's a lot of people that will glory in their efforts and think they're doing well. But if they're glorying in their efforts, the Bible says they can't glory before God because this is not God's methodology. This is not the way God assesses and audits things as being correct. So he said, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God." Now that's a past tense verb there. When it says he believed God, we know he believed God for many, many things, but his initial belief was when God told him to leave his homeland, the land where they worshiped false gods, and to go out unto a place that God would show him. And what was that place called? It was called the land of promise. So you and I know that once we're called and once we're saved, once we're born again, that we have just begun a journey into the land of promise. That's really the only way a true Christian can live. Now we get mixed up, we get befuddled, we get to trying it in our own flesh and strength many times. We get saved by faith, and then after we get saved, we get to trying to do things. But God has only one way. And it's the way of faith. And so you entered into, and I entered into, a covenant of faith. A covenant is a sacred and solemn agreement between two parties that this is, we're entering in this together and binding ourselves into this union for a long period of time or a certain period of time. We know with us it's a period of time that is for the rest of our life. And so Abraham believed God. Now notice the statement, "and it was counted unto him." It was counted unto him for righteousness. And it says in verse 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, who counts that? Who's the auditor? God is the auditor. Now, he started out on the basis of faith. You remember when you go and you open up a bank account and you put some money in there, that's the start of an agreement between you and that bank. And now that you started that agreement, you entrusted some money that you had into that bank account. You entrusted that. Now you come under the view and the observation continuously of that account by those who are in charge there. And they are going to count what you have on a daily, hourly, ongoing basis. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." You ought to underline that statement, because forever, once you're saved, this is the way the Christian life works. The only thing that counts for righteousness is your faith. And God can always see faith. Sometimes, and generally speaking, your faith is visible. If it's real faith, it's visible because it's going to demonstrate itself in your words and in your actions. But just because you have words and actions that are religious does not necessarily mean you have faith. That's why sometimes it gets difficult to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why Paul told Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How many of you know that it very clearly is saying here that and justification in its initial statement, justification and imputation go right together. Justification is where the authority declares one to be in proper or correct or right standing. You're declared legally to be in proper, correct, or right standing when you're justified. And then imputation, not amputation. Amen. That'd be another message, cutting off. But imputation is when something is placed into your account. And when you go down to the bank and you add something to your account, then it's immediately added to your balance. And your balance increases. And it will continue to increase when you add until you write checks and it's taken out. So it's like faith. You believe God for one thing, you believe God for this, and then your faith maybe in that area becomes fulfilled, and you know you need faith in another area, so you've got to have a deposit. You've got to have a deposit for everything that God calls you to. Now, when you get saved, every one of you here, your life is a composition. And the great composer, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they have been composing this composition from before the day that you were born. Now, I understand you couldn't believe while you were, a child in the womb. And I say a child, I don't say a fetus, because that's not in the Bible. Amen. The word for a child pre-birth in the Bible is a child. That's the word that's used. Children were in the womb and so forth. So I prefer to call it not what the world calls it, because that makes it a convenient way for them to pronounce that it's a nonentity, a nobody, a nothing. And thank God we're hearing some rumblings in our nation of somebody standing up and beginning to say, we don't count this child in the womb as a nonentity, as a nothing. We count it as a child. How many of you believe that life begins at conception?
Amen.
Amen. When there's the union of, that fertilization process, a new entity is beginning to be formed. Now, we have to leave it up to God for all the details of the miscarried children and all the aborted babies and all that. But God still has a plan. Amen. And so your life is what I would call an epic saga. I like those two words. The word epic means it's monumental. Your life is monumental. Everybody's life is monumental. God sees everybody. He sees that person that is maybe mentally deficient. He sees that person that has physical issues that they have to deal with in life. He sees that person that has gone through terrible traumas. He sees everything. But everybody is important to God. Amen. My life and your life is a composition. God has been helping us to compose this story. An epic, that means it's a monumental journey. It's a monumental story. God has been writing the book. And everybody has a book of their own that God is writing for His eternal purposes and His eternal glory. And we're individualistic. And your book is not my book. And my book is not your book. But the thing is, in this great covenant of faith, it all has to work on the basis of faith. And so it says, David described the blessedness. Now the word says it was counted for righteousness. So that means when Abraham believed God, when he went out, God had a record book in heaven, and he and the Father, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, it was recorded that this man has something in his account. He has begun the journey that is pleasing unto us. Even David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Now, let me go back and say what I was saying a while ago. When you're rightly dividing the word of truth, this can be very, very difficult sometimes without certainly the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because James clearly says that was not our father Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? And here it very clearly tells us that we cannot be declared righteous by our works. And yet James says, by works was his faith made perfect. Now, how can those two things that seem to so clearly contradict one the other, how can they be congruent? How can they mingle together and come out right. And it says Rahab the harlot was justified by faith when she sent the messengers out another way. And this is will really blow your mind. Because Rahab, when she decided to honor the people of faith that worship Jehovah God, she lied to those satanic messengers. And so you're going to have to dig that one out yourself. Was she responsible? Let me ask you a question. This is just to make you think. And there's a few instances in the Bible. If you had been back in the days of Nazi Germany, and you were hiding Jewish people to keep them from being exterminated, and someone knocked on your door and said, "Do you have any Jewish people hidden here?" Do you think that you would have been obligated to tell them the truth? I'll just let you think on that one a little while. But it says Rahab was justified when she did what? She sent the spies out another direction. She said they'd already left. They told her to hang the crimson cord out of her window, and she did. And she became a believer. So how do you coincide what Paul, the great apostle of justification, is teaching when he says it's faith that you're saved, and we're going to go on into our afterlife after we're saved, how we're justified in our daily walk, in our daily activities as we move forward in our life. How do you justify that with what James said? Martin Luther, the great Protestant Reformationist who began the Protestant, Reformation, who left the Catholic Church and nailed the 95 Theses to the door, and of course his life was in danger and all of those things because he was going against years and years of tradition and all of that in the Catholic Church at that time. Martin Luther called, I believe it was, the book of James the straw epistle. Because he could not ever get himself to understand how that what Paul taught about justification by grace and grace alone, and he got that great revelation that it was not by the deeds and the things that the they called the mother church at that time required you to do to go through all the liturgy and all the things that they did in order to be saved, but he found out and discovered it was by grace alone, and he had the strength by faith to stand up in the face of all of that power and all of that man-made authority. I'm not saying there weren't any people that knew God that didn't understand any grace, but he had the power to stand up and go against the entire orthodoxy of the church he'd been a part of for all of his life. But he couldn't bring these two together. But if you study James, you will find out that James says that by faith was his, by works was his faith made perfect. And James clearly calls them the works of faith. What caused Abraham to go and offer his son Isaac upon the altar was because he had a word from God. And he had already heard from God in this covenant that he was in, and he decided and believed in his heart that God would do what he said he would do. He had already made the promise over many years of this child of promise, and he believed God would do what he said he would do, and he had the faith inside. So then ultimately the works showed up on the outside, but they were not just religious works that he decided to do. They were the works of a faith that had already been distilled. A faith that had already been completed in his heart and then put into his account. Now, you say, well, he had to have the works to go with it. Yes, he did. But the faith on the inside guaranteed the outcome on the outside. So that's why they're called works of faith. They're not called works of man, not called works of religion or anything of that nature. They're called works of faith in James. So it's not any difficulty to make the two coincide. And this was not when he got saved in James. James was talking about much later, after many ups and downs and many trials as you've gone through in your life. You're going to go through trials in every kind of way. You're going to be confronted in your money, in your marriage, in your parenting. You're going to be confronted in your conduct, in your character. You're going to be confronted in all aspects of your life. And the thing is that once you're saved, God says, I am expecting you to build a foundation of faith in every single thing that crops up in your life. I'm expecting you to come to me and learn to trust me until what you're seeking to believe for turns into something real that I can impute to you, something that I can put into your account. And when I place it in your account, when I, the divine auditor, say that, yes, this is correct, you have believed me to the point of faith, now I deposit into your account the results of faith, which is right standing. And following along behind right standing comes a lifting of glorification in our life to see the work of God literally come and take over in the area where the account, there's substance there. You know, if you want to go out and buy a boat, or you want to buy a new car or a truck, you just can't do it until you deposit enough, if you have a bank account, to pay for it. And so many people are so mixed up, they say, well, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God, you know, in order to help me with this. But they may be a long way from trust yet. They may just be sort of starting or in the progression of the ups and downs of faith. So, when you come with a burden to church, or you come to be prayed for many, many times, it's like, you know, your faith needs to be strengthened. You need something on deposit. And most of the time, hear what I'm about to say. Most of the time, hadn't got any of those verses yet, Brother Lee. Just take it easy up there. Most of the time, you're asking for someone to help pray that your faith will be strengthened, that you can believe to the end result. Now, sometimes, I thought this morning maybe I had a revelation. I like it when God brings a revelation. And you have to examine revelations to see if they coincide with what you believe. But I was thinking about the man. It was one of the verses I had up here, but it wasn't in the proper order. But I remember the Lord said to the man, I believe it was the blind man, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. But you remember the man that came to Jesus? I believe his son had a very bad condition, a dumb spirit, and he would be taken over and wallow around and foam at the mouth and things of that nature. And I guess the boy had grown up, because the Lord said, when did this start afflicting him? And he said, as a child. Now, there was a door, and God doesn't deal with the door where that got into this child. In this particular case, God didn't say anything about dealing with the door where this demon got in, because anytime there's a demon controlling a person, there was a doorway of entrance. It could have been generational. It could have been opening the door through sin. It could have been, you know, a traumatic experience. But and sometimes you have to go back to that experience if you know where it happened, and repent and correct that and ask the Lord to deal with that issue right there where it started, before you can deal with getting rid of the demon and the demon power. But this boy, I guess he had grown up some. I don't know how old he was. He might have still been a child. But you know how the terrible condition that he had, it would take him. And he said sometimes it throws him into the fire and this, that, and the other. And the Lord said to him, maybe it was him also, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, this was not just believing that it could be done. It was believing that it would be done. And the Lord said, if you can believe this, believe, that is, to the point of substantive faith, something put into your account where the divine auditor is putting something in your account of right standing. For the just shall live by faith. That's the only thing I know of. Four times it says that in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. That means not just physically live, though that could be included. It means experience divine life. If you want to experience divine life, you do it by faith. The just shall live by faith. One time in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, it says the just shall experience the life of God by faith. So anyway, the Lord said, if you can believe, then he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, how does God deal with this? How does Jesus deal with this? And I always wondered, Lord, what does that mean? And I feel like maybe the Lord was saying this morning, well, you know, because of his transparency and his honesty, at that point in time, I just bestowed the gift of miracles or the gift of healing or whatever he needed there at that point. But your life and my life, generally speaking, is not going to operate for the most part on the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you know that? The gifts of the Spirit are wonderful. The gift of the Spirit can minister to you at a certain given point. The gifts of the Spirit can do a sudden thing, a miraculous thing. And that is in the sovereignty of God, which even goes maybe beyond. This man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There was two aspects there to be dealt with. So God honored, and he said, he healed the child. But the areas of your life that have to be developed and brought forth by God, for the most part, are going to be part of that progressive journey of faith. You may get a divine miracle from God, a sovereign miracle. He will bestow those in his sovereignty sometime. But there's going to be, for the most part of your life, in all the areas you face, God saying, I'm challenging you to a faith in this area. You're going to have to believe me. You're going to have to trust me. And you have to come to a place where I can impute unto your account righteousness. And I can't impute unto your account righteousness in this area until you come to a place of absolute certified faith, assured faith, where you know that you know it's going to happen. You no longer wrestle with it. You no longer struggle with it. You don't doubt it. You rest in the Lord, because the Bible says, let us labor to enter into his rest, for he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own labors. He's ceased. See, you can't really come. Well, that's a short period of time, isn't it? I guess that's the beginning of 45 minutes of music, is that? No, that's not right. Well, let's read just a few more verses here. He said, verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, I believe that verse means in relationship to your salvation experience. So you've got to understand, this is what I believe happens when you get saved. I believe God deals, somebody says, well, God forgave all of our sins, past, present, and future. And somebody else says, no, God just forgave our sins up until that point. See, this is what I believe. And I'm not going to go into the theology of apostasy and things of that nature, but I believe when you get saved, God deals with your nature as a sinner. God forgives you as a sinner, which, as being in his forgiveness as a sinner, yes, your sins are taken care of. And I wrote it in the book that I wrote. I was over here at a funeral here in Camden when I felt like I got this revelation. But how many of you know that when we leave this world, none of us probably have yet reached absolute perfection. Amen? Do you believe that? Even though we walk with God and serve God and live with him, we're not perfect yet. So if that's the case, how can someone that's not perfect enter into heaven, a perfect place with a perfect God? Because Jesus made up the rest of the balance sheet of what we could not perfect in this life. Whatever is lacking, Jesus made up the rest because He forgave us as sinners and made us His children. Now your sins after you get saved, individual sins that deal with your fellowship with God, your ongoing personal union with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, those have to be dealt with on an ongoing basis. Amen. Some of them are sins that are carnality sins, weakness sins. You're just weak. Some are sins of immaturity. Some are sins of ignorance. Some are sins of stronghold. And you can't expect a stronghold sin to leave just like maybe a temporary sin where you falter or fail. You stumbled. You said something wrong. You did something wrong. And you can get that straight and pretty correct. You can believe God to forgive you. You can ask Him and believe. And if you believe, you're forgiven, and you'll know your relationship, your fellowship is restored. But if you have a stronghold sin, you're not going to get that taken care of as quickly, because that's why it's called a stronghold. And Luke 11:22 says, when a strong man arm keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. So if you've got a stronghold, that means there's a strong man. It's got a strong place in your life. When a strong man's arm keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. See, in order to take down a stronghold, you've got to become stronger than the strong man that's got the stronghold. And as long as you're fearful or afraid or troubled, they don't really have a completed faith with a stronghold, you can't bring it down. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusts. What does the strong man have as his armor? Lies and fears and doubts and habituated situations and you know, disheartenment and giving up. But when a stronger than he comes upon him, he takes his armor. He says, you're not going to hold the lies anymore. I'm stronger. I'm stronger than the lies. I'm stronger than the fears. I'm stronger than the addiction. I'm stronger than this through Jesus. He takes all his armor. You can't overcome him till you can take his armor down, till you can pull his armor away. And then it says, then he divides the spoils. That's the way it is with a stronghold. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. See, if the devil holds part of my life or part of your life on a continual, regular basis, he counts that as his conquest. Remember? When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. We don't have time to go on that. I've got to wind up here. And finds none. There's something to say about a demon seeking to find rest. He needs to inhabit a body, but it says he finds none. And he goes and takes seven other spirits more evil than himself and says, I will go again and return to what? My house. I will return to my house. He still believes it's his house. He still thinks it's going to remain his house, even though he had a temporary exit. He still thinks it's his house. How many of you have to have the pest man out more than once sometime? And he says, he brings with him those, and he says he finds it's swept, empty, and garnished. See, a lot of people want to get delivered, but they don't want to stay with God and keep it filled up with the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. They don't want to fill it with the power of God. He finds it empty and he comes in again. And the person's worse off than before. Well, I didn't talk on imputation very much. I didn't make y'all put anything up, Brother Lee. I'm just quit bringing y'all anything. All my verses, I have all my 3 points. The areas here that that imputation comes in, all the areas of our life where imputation has to come, all the things that you go through learning to believe by faith until God decides, the auditor decides, this is a real deposit, this is a faith deposit, I can really put it in your account now. This is, you've believed in this area, you're completed faith in this, so I've added faith to your account, and I've imputed, as a result of that, I've imputed right standing. And as a result of imputing right standing, now I confirm upon you the blessing. Hallelujah. I confer upon you the result of the faith that has been deposited in your account. Let's stand up to our feet. You might be here tonight and you might be feeling like, you know, that you've been trying to have faith in an area, and it's called the fight of faith, you know. You don't have to fight what Jesus has already done. I mean, he's already accomplished these things for us, the great and mighty promises. But your fight is to stay in, to come to faith against the devil, trying to stop your faith, trying to stop you from a deposit, trying to stop you from certification. He's trying through all the circumstances. And God is saying, well, my child, yeah, I let the devil come at you. And he's also saying, for you to have real faith, I have to let it be tried. I have to see if you're going to really have something to deposit. Is it just a religious word, or are you really going to come to the end result to have something you can deposit? And I can look and say, "Whoa, I impute right standing to them. They are in faith on this area." Through the struggle, through the battle, through the doubts and uncertainties, they didn't give up. They'd get up and keep believing until finally their faith was complete. And now they receive the blessing. Praise the Lord. You might be here, and we're going to dismiss, but you might be here and you feel like your faith has really been under siege. You've been believing God for an area, and maybe you've had good words said, and that's great, but you just feel like, hey, all you have to do is just focus on what Jesus has already done and declare it, regardless of what's happening. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All God's asking you to do is just declare what Jesus has done and declare it for yourself and say, Lord, that's what you want me to depend on anyway. So I just can't allow what's happening. I'm going to do as best I can. If you lead me, tell me to do something, I'm going to try to do it. But works of faith, But Lord, I'm just going to declare. I'm going to declare what you said. Declare that you must be justified. And Lord, I'm going to keep my faith trusting in you. When it gets down, I'm going to get back up and believe again until I get to the point I am so sure that you're going to do it, that you put the amount into my faith balance. And then it gets done. So, but don't feel defeated if you're in the process. Like they said, we're in the process and everything. But if you're, after we dismiss here, if you feel like your faith is under siege in an area, and you just have sort of been like, oh, I'm just sort of giving up, you just need a new revelation of how to believe. You need a new revelation of how to trust in the midst of this thing. Now you come for prayer, and we'll pray that God will just open your eyes to the simplicity of ceasing from your own struggle and coming to that point of rest, because the point of rest is the point of faith. Amen. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Is there anything else we need to say before we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time tonight, and we pray, Lord, you'll continue to, Lord, be with Stephen and heal his body. And Lord, I just felt to say tonight, I didn't say it earlier, but to thank you, Lord, for all the ones that do work up in the technology and the sound area, Lord, that are always there to make things happen that we don't many times ever see, Lord God, but they're so diligent, and I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, let our faith grow and increase exceedingly, as you said in one place, their faith groweth exceedingly. Let our faith grow. And Lord, if some people are in struggle, we just want them to be encouraged tonight in their faith, as to get a revelation as to how to believe unto the fruition, the end result of what they're believing for. Bless every one of us as we go this week. Help us to know that in this epic saga of our life, you're doing things every day. You're looking at our books every day. You're auditing our life every day. And Lord, you're wanting to keep faith constantly added to our account in every area and facet of our life. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.